The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
If OU and Texas really are headed to the Southeastern Conference, it is a result of the most sinister plan in college football history. It is the Chuck Oliver Show live from day four, 2021 SEC Media Days. How have y'all been? We've all been here together since Monday. We've been in Charlotte, actually. You kind of split yourself. Yesterday, you started being in Charlotte as well, and we've had all the energy. Man, what a great week this has been. And I was apprehensive, and I told you just flat out wrong, but it has really come together, and it's already been a good day today. And I got a feeling it's going to get even better. Chuck Oliver Show again, live from the Hyatt Winfrey in Hoover, Alabama. Dan Matthews live from the Westin in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bringing the best of everything today. Who will you hear? You will hear Nick Saban, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. You will hear Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers. You will hear Jeff Collins, head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. We have an entire – we got Cole Kublik coming up. We got Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of the Missouri Tigers. We are locked and loaded going from both locations. I said, if OU and Texas are really headed to this conference, it's a result of the most sinister plan I've ever heard of. If the SEC – and I'm talking if this is real, which over the course of about an hour and a half yesterday, it just got real. If the SEC has a secret 10 or 15-year plan to create a four-division, like, I don't know, 40-team super conference, okay, now I'm talking about OU and Texas. If you're expanding to 16, you don't bring in a pair of just monster programs who could potentially just start laying losses on everybody. That's why you brought Missouri in with Texas A&M. It's what every conference, you balance that. Oh, maybe you're good in baseball or basketball. It was the lunacy of the conversations about a decade ago. Hey, the SEC, they're bringing in. It was Texas and Oklahoma self-contained a year ago, 10 years ago. That's what it was. It was Florida State, Clemson, self-contained. Like, what in the world are you thinking? If it's just two teams, you don't bring in just, you got to balance it. Well, you can balance the heck out of it when you expand to 40 or 48. And it wouldn't be – see, there is a bigger plan here. It wouldn't be, hey, we play NCAA football. We're in the Big Ten or the Mountain West. It's we play SEC football. We're in the SEC North. Oh, Michigan State, that's your SEC division? Yep, we're in the SEC North. Or the SEC South, the Miami Hurricanes, or the East or the West. That's the only way, if there is, I mean, a sinister bottom drawer under everything else plan in Sankey's office, that's how this OU-Texas thing, there is not a whole lot of motivation, and the division of the money, it just does not make a whole lot of sense. Want to bring in, I told you we're also in Charlotte, North Carolina, with Dan Matthews. Dan, how you doing up there, brother?
Oh, everything is great. And, you know, as we wrap up here in Charlotte, still got a lot of great things to look forward to. As you mentioned, Dabo, we're going to be hearing from him here shortly, a little bit later on, too. Florida State head coach, Mike Norvell. And then also, I don't know if you heard this rumor, Chuck, because now it's been confirmed. Both quarterbacks going for the job at Florida State going to be joining our table here, Mackenzie Milton and also Jordan Travis. So we're going to have them. So a lot of excitement still left as we wrap up everything from here in Charlotte, just like y'all do the same thing over in Hoover.
Okay, I want to get a quick comment from you because, of course, you're from Texas. I'm sure you saw the Jimbo quote. Hey, you see OU and Texas want to join the Southeastern Conference? Quote, I'm sure they do. this has to be, like, this is New Year's Eve, Christmas, Halloween, Tet. I mean, like, every holiday wrapped into one for an Aggie fan. Is Texas now wanting to get in, but if they don't? Am I right about that?
Oh, 100%. It's just the perception of it alone is, far be it from me to use a movie reference, but of course I'm going to use one. It's Dan Aykroyd's character in Trading Places when he gets kicked out, and it's, you know, one of those, he was on top of the world, he was talking down to everybody, and then all of a sudden he has to kind of game his way back in and try to find a way to take down Mortimer and so-and-so. So that's kind of what it's almost like right now. It's very much looking to Texas and saying, hey, come to us hat in hand, and maybe we'll listen to you. And that's what it sounds like is happening.
Texas stealing salmon from the Christmas party. That's what's going on right now. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll hear from Nick Saban, head coach of the National.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Champion Alabama Crimson Tide next.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Have someone like Ty Chandler. He's one of the best running backs in the country, and for us to kind of get him from Tennessee has been a really good blessing. I'm super excited to have Ty in the room. He's been so fun to work with. You know, he works hard every single time I go to the field and throw. He's there. So he just loves the work. So I'm super excited to work with him this year.
Sam Howell, North Carolina Tar Heels quarterback. Live on the Chuck Oliver Show, he is in Charlotte, North Carolina at ACC football kickoff with Dan Matthews. He's on site there. I am, of course, day four, Hyatt Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama, 2021 SEC football media days. And we are here throughout the rest of the day bringing you all the interviews. Again, we got Nick Saban coming up in just a couple of minutes. Talked to him yesterday, and again, it was after the show. So this is kind of, media days and the guys that are early, like Eli Drinkwitz. I'm having coffee and a biscuit this morning, and Eli walks up and I was like, all right, put the headset on, brother. It was about 7 a.m., and Eli was after that early worm. So that was Eli. Saban came through late yesterday, and so we'll be bringing him, like I said, in a couple of minutes. But what Sam Howell was talking about there, and he's talking about just half of it, is Ty Chandler. The other half is Eric Gray. It would have been – I think, by the way, I know everything that is in Athens and everything that's in Tuscaloosa, and I'll even say not enough is made about the running backs in College Station. I'll say even, like, LSU, there's the talent and the potential. I don't know who it's going to be or the who's, plural, is going to be, but they've got as much talent as anybody. Tennessee would have had the best running back duo in the SEC. Not the best four or five. That might be a team like Bama, but I don't know. Marshawn Lloyd, he's 100% healthy. He and Kevin, no. Sean Shivers has a transformational seat. No. It would have been Eric Gray and Ty Chandler. And I'm talking about two diverse skill sets at running back. And Eric Gray, the kid who's now at Oklahoma, he is more of a three-down NFL pro. I like that kid. Kennedy Brooks is going to wind up being the backup or at least sharing backup carries. And Eric Gray is somebody they're talking about as being a perfect fit for that offense. Well, Sam Howell lost two NFL running backs in Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, and he is looking around thinking, I need somebody to replace that guy. I think it was Zach McLeod, wasn't it, down at Miami. They moved up to defensive end, and he's kind of got a pitch in to help replace two NFL defensive ends, really three. When you talk about Rousseau, who sat out, So when you look at the running backs and Chapel Hill, that's kind of what he's doing. That's kind of what Ty Chandler's doing, replacing two NFL guys. They'll have other guys, and they'll get their carries and catch passes and all that, but there was a reason he was targeted once he got into the transfer portal. And if Sam Howell, in my opinion, is going to have the best season, now, that didn't make him the best NFL prospect or the first overall pick or anything else. Is he prototypical size? Maybe not. Maybe he's a little short. Is he? And I've heard all kinds of words, stubby or whatever. It looks like he's always wearing a flak jacket. Maybe. I don't care anything about that. And I don't, it's almost like an anecdotal thing. If Sam winds up being the first overall pick, it's a great indication of what you can do on a Saturday. But I'm not as interested in how it eventually turns out on Sundays. I just want to know, like, his rankings and, all right, what'd you do in college to earn that? If you give the best quarterback in America a real dual threat like that out of the backfield, plus the receivers, I know who they lost, but I also know who they're coming back. So that could be about as good an offense as you're going to find throwing it around in the ACC, and that includes Clemson. They do not have the star attraction. They do not have those headline five-star guys at every position, especially out at wide receiver. Again, so much transition. North Carolina, here's the difference. North Carolina, that's the one big thing. They're still at a spot when they lose an NFL, at least receiver, because there are three or four of those that work into the main part of your game plan now. It used to be you could have a lead receiver and then guys who would work off of him. That's not what it is anymore. You're going to have to, if you're talking about being a championship program, which is what Mac wants, you're talking about having two or three, or maybe even if you're Clemson, if you're Bama, if you're Georgia, you hope, four legit ACC caliber starting receivers, four of them, even though you only start two or three. So you've got to up the overall talent level there. And when you throw that running back into the mix, as well as they're getting better on defense, I mean, North Carolina is just going to be – they're going to be a handful this year, ain't no doubt about it. So I appreciate, again, Dan being up there talking with Sam Howell from North Carolina. And, again, that was yesterday, was the Coastal Day. Atlantic is there today. I've already talked to Dabo this earlier today. We're going to be bringing you him, I believe, in hour two. But yesterday was Saban Day, and it was a really different environment here, and we talked about that. And, you know, we're fortunate for, you know, whatever reason, we usually get Coach Saban every media days anyway, but he was a lot more at ease yesterday, and I think all the coaches have been there, so it was good to sit down and talk to him. Now, when we start talking about this, there is one player that I was tipped off a little bit about that I'm going to ask him about, and it has to do with the quarterback position. You're thinking, oh yeah, Bryce Young, he's just starting his career. That's the tough part if you're a fan of anybody outside the Alabama fan base. Is when I asked him about his hot young quarterback that is so exciting to watch play, it wasn't necessarily Bryce Young who I was asking about. His kid named Jalen Milrow, and so he will comment on that as well. Here is where Alabama is, that you can have a brand-new starter at quarterback, five-star kid, and you might have a true freshman coming off the bench and either taking that job or at the very least, and I'm going to go, he's going to play, all right, at the very least taking some snaps. Well, now, if you think I'm making a prediction about what's about to happen with Alabama football, whoa, wait a minute. You got a brand new starter, but you got a true freshman who's come off the bench and take that? Folks, I just described what Jalen Hurts did 5 years ago. You had a brand new starter quarterback in Blake Barnett, and then a true freshman came off the bench in the opener and said, yeah, I'll be taking this job. And so everything we thought about how can they still win a national championship coming off losing a first-round quarterback and two first-round receivers. Well, they did that last year, and they won a national championship. So I've changed the measuring sticks, man, and I am so looking forward to some of these fun young players that get out on the field for whatever the limited version is. As they open against the Miami Hurricanes. Well, that was one of the things I talked to Nick Saban about yesterday, as well as bouncing all around the defense and some of the depth at running back. It was just a real good conversation with Coach Saban when he was here with Fedarian Mathis. He brought in John Metchie as well. And it was really good to see the Alabama contingent all up and down Radio Row in the TV rooms up there dealing with everybody. So we're going to hear from Nick Saban from the Alabama Crimson Tide. SEC Media Days 2021 continues live from Hoover, Alabama, the Hyatt Winfrey. Chuck Oliver Show here, 9 states, 51 sticks, dealing it out every afternoon, 2 hours of college football conversation, joined by the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good. Appreciate you good. Making some time today, and you have been pretty direct. I have read some of your comments that running the ball and playing defense worked for about 150 years, And for about the past decade, it don't work no more. That's not what it is. You got a young quarterback. You got an NFL offensive line coach. You got running backs stacked up like cordwood. Any temptation to go get like that 2009 playbook and just mash on people for a while?
Well, not really. I mean, I think philosophically it's been proven in college football. If you spread the field, make people defend 53 yards wide and 100 yards deep vertically and horizontally, with the rules in college football with RPOs and blocking behind the line of scrimmage when balls are caught behind the line of scrimmage, those things create tremendous advantages. And when you get in what I call wad ball, you know, that it's very difficult to, you know, take advantage of that. So we like what we do on offense. I think the big thing is whatever you do on offense, you can't turn the ball over and you got to be able to make explosive plays. So if we can continue to do that, I think we'll be okay.
All right, well, I had a question from a couple of weeks ago that I think I have discovered the answer. I was going to ask you when y'all got to, like, opponent-specific prep, who was going to get to play De'Eriq King in practice. Then on a totally different night, I started watching tape with this kid, Jalen Milroe. Boy, he looks like a fun kid.
Yeah.
Might he be De'Eriq King?
Yeah, I think he could do it. Yeah, he's very athletic. He can run. He's one of the fastest guys on our team. You know, he's 6'3", 215 pounds. He's got a good arm. We just got to get him to sort of, you know, sort of develop as a passer. He can make the throws, but it's different between making throws and becoming a passer, and that's what we're working on with him.
Continuing with head coach Nick Saban from the Alabama Crimson Tide, I want to ask you about John Metchie and the physical nature of his game, because, you know, there are some, like, you don't compare people to Julio. I think he may be the most physical receiver you've had since Julio. And I'm thinking, like, if I'm an outside backer and I'm flowing, you know, on a toss or a pitch or anything, my first thought is, where's Metchie? He takes it seriously, man, and not every receiver does that.
Yeah, well, he is a very physical player. You know, that hit he put on the guy in the SEC championship game last year after the guy intercepted the ball and jarred the ball off of him, we got the ball back. That was one of the most physical plays I've seen a receiver make in a long time. But John is also a guy that has a lot of playmaking ability, and I think the combination of being a complete player at his position when it comes to, you know, receiving, blocking, route running, hands, you know, all things that are going to create value for his future.
Wrapping up with head coach Nick Saban, just a couple of individuals I want to ask you about, one on each side of the ball. I got to say, first time I remember seeing Jaleel Billingsley out there, I was like, it took like five plays, and I was like, I don't know what he's going to be, but you're going to win some games because of him. You're going to blow him up and make him a tight end. You're going to keep him out wide. I mean, he looks like he can do just about anything you wanted.
Well, we kind of have a position that's called H, which is kind of a semi-tight end, semi-wide receiver, but not a guy that has to line up in the C area and really be a great blocker. Although I think Jaleel has the ability to be a great blocker. He's going to have to develop size and strength to be able to do that. But he is a fantastic athlete, a great receiver. The last half of last season, you know, we lost Waddle. He became one of the weapons that really added to our offense, and certainly going to be somebody that could be significant for us this year.
Last guy I want to ask you about, and I got to tell you, out of the entire Southeastern Conference, maybe a guy I'm pulling for as much as anybody, LeBryan Ray. I know he's good. I know he's talented, and he has had an awful time with injuries. What's the possible blue sky for that kid in 21?
Well, if he can stay healthy, I think he could be as good a player as anybody at his position. But as you mentioned, that has been an issue for him in the past. And even though he played last year, we kind of played him sparingly because he hurt his elbow and then hurt it again. And so he was really slow coming back because we wanted to make sure he was okay. And then we only played him on third down at the end of the season. So if he can stay healthy, there's nothing that he can't do as a defensive end that wouldn't create lots of value for his future.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you carving out some time today. If nothing else, we will see you in Atlanta in about 6 weeks.
All right, Chuck. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Day four live from Hoover, Alabama. SEC Media Days continuing. Chuck Oliver live here. Dan Matthews, you know, up the road in Charlotte at ACC Media Days. Was lucky enough this morning to sit down and talk with Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of the Missouri Tigers, and a really interesting team. And it's a totally different profile than the Ole Miss Rebels. There's the overlap is they both get 85 scholarships, and they get a head coach and 10 assistants, and they play on a field that's, you know, the same dimensions. But I think it could be a similar outcome. Ole Miss cannot win the West. Ole Miss can help decide the West. Missouri, if there is also help in Jacksonville one Saturday afternoon, depending on what, I don't know, who else, Kentucky and the conference, et cetera, there is a chance that like seven other teams, including somebody from the West, Auburn, can conspire and gang up on the Georgia Bulldogs and kind of change the course of things in the East. But it is a way, way, way different scenario than like Ole Miss beats Texas A&M. Whoop! Aggies lost their shot. Bama's in Atlanta. Or the Ole Miss beats LSU, and it's the final nail. It's their second loss, and they still got to play A&M. You know, whatever it is, that could be Ole Miss, and we could see that. It takes a lot more to knock, for instance, Georgia, the favorite, out of Atlanta. But Missouri is about as good a bet as anybody, including UF. Really well-coached team and a lot of exciting young stars. And so I was able to sit down with Eli Drinkwitz. SEC Media Days 2021, live from the Hyatt Winfrey, Hoover, Alabama. Chuck Oliver Show here, day four, and pleased to sit down with the head coach of the Missouri Tigers. It is Eli Drinkwitz. Coach, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's always a great day to be in Birmingham, Alabama, spreading the message of the Mizzou Tigers in SEC country.
Well, you're here as head coach. If we go back in time about a decade, you were also in the SEC, but you were a graduate assistant, I believe, at my alma mater, no less, and you walked away with some hardware. Talk about your experience in 2010 working with Gus Malzahn and Gene Chizik on that Auburn staff, that national championship team.
Yeah, you know, in 2010, I was what they called a quality control assistant, and that was $15,000 a year. No benefits, 11-month contract. I think my primary job was to make sure that the coffee was ready when Coach Malzahn walked into the office. I was pretty good at getting Chiz's dry cleaning, and I was really good at running and getting breakfast for people. You know, quality control assistants, there's a lot of things they can and can't do within the framework of the NCAA rules. So let's just say I abided by all the framework of the NCAA rules and did exactly what I was supposed to do. But very thankful, always we're going to be grateful to Coach Chizik and Coach Malzahn for giving me an opportunity. And I thought college football was easy after experiencing that. Just go get the best player on the planet. Cam Newton is your quarterback, and you'll go win a championship.
All right, so a decade later, you're an overnight sensation, and you are a head coach in the SEC now. Let's talk about your current quarterback, Connor Bazelak. Now, again, everybody I say that to, I say it to Dan Mullen and Emory Jones, is like, now, wait a minute, we still got August. So you can give the standard disclaimer about there's still a competition, everything's open, but talk about what you saw from that young man last year.
Yeah, I saw a guy who really the moment wasn't too big. He's a maverick. He believes in himself. Is going to go out there and cut his own cloth, and a guy who really studies film. He's got the traits of a quarterback as far as mental toughness, preparation, discipline, decision-making, and accuracy. You know, really excited about what his potential growth is, challenging him to be continue to grow as a leader, continue to challenge him to be a better player in the red zone, be more consistent as a quarterback.
There it is.
And so I think that's the things that we're really focused on. You know, he spent this summer really diving diving in and watching more tape. Spent the summer at, you know, went to the Manning Passing Academy, and so he's taking this opportunity to improve, and we're excited about what was
consistent.
Oh,
there are two things when you have a young quarterback as he starts growing. I need him to be quicker with his decisions, quicker, and I need him to be more consistent. How do you marry those two? Because when you start speeding things up, you actually kind of go the other way. I mean, there's no way to force experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. He has a great quote that says, be quick but don't hurry. What's up, 40? Be quick but don't hurry. And I think for us, that's what it is. We want to be quick. The way you get quicker in your decision-making is to process information faster, which the way you do that is, one, know yourself better, know the offense, know what we're trying to accomplish in the play, and then the second thing is know what the defense is doing so you have a better understanding pre-snap of what they're going to do. If you know what your offense is supposed to do, then you can react to what the defense is going to do, and then you know this is who's supposed to be open. Every play has the ability to beat a defense. The defense should never have you. They're going to expose a weakness. You just have to be able to find it. And the race is, when the ball snapped, how quickly do you find the answer before the defense gets to you?
And I want to ask you a question. I was doing the Chick-fil-A Bowl about 15 years ago. It was Tennessee and Clemson.
Okay.
A guy named Charlie Whitehurst, if you remember him.
Yeah.
He would back away from the line of scrimmage and look to the sidelines. And that's when that first really started. You know, check with me,
yeah,
and we're going to pick
mm-hmm.
one of the plays. So it's like 15 years later. Are we asking quarterbacks to do more than ever or less than ever? Because I literally, within the same plays, I think both things sometimes.
Yeah, it's probably both, yes to both, right? I think it depends on what the system is. I think there are some systems that make things very simplistic, and, you know, they're giving him a one-route read, and he's taking it. And then there's other systems that are, you know, it's more like a guided discovery. We're giving them the opportunity to figure it out for themselves and saying, hey, this answer is this answer, this answer is this answer. So
if we look around the SEC right now, it's kind of a phenomenon. I always tell people it is so unfair to ask, you know, I've said the next Percy Harvin, and now it's the next Kadarius Toney. And when I've said that for the past 3 or 4 months, suddenly I look up and I'm like, no, there are a lot of Kadarius Toney-looking kids around this conference, and you got one of the best ones in Tyler Beatty. I mean, mm-hmm. you got a kid who can do just about anything you want to ask of him.
Right. Yeah, you know, Tyler is a very versatile player. He's got home run speed from the backfield. He's an excellent running back, but he's also got some ability to transition to the pass game and routes out of the backfield. You know, spent a lot of time this summer working on his routes, and he's done an excellent job. He's up to 202 pounds and looks great, ready to handle the primary load this year, which it's his turn, his opportunity, and excited about what versatility he provides to our offense and explosibility. I don't know if that's a word, but we'll go with it.
That'll wind up in Reader's Digest soon enough.
Yeah, no doubt.
Wrapping up with Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri head coach. Let's flip it around. I mean, I could ask you about defense, special teams, or whomever, but it's really a recruiting question because and I don't think this is an opinion. I think it's just kind of an observation. Numbers-wise, it's going to be tough to ever build a championship team just within your borders as far as recruiting goes.
Okay.
So is it Texas? Is it Florida? Is it, you know, wherever when you go outside Missouri? And who on the staff is really doing that heavy lifting?
I would disagree with you, Chuck. I would say the only chance that we have to win a championship is to start within our borders. And when you look at what Gary Pinkel did when he was the number one team in the country, the starting five offensive linemen were from the state of Missouri. The best defensive linemen traditionally come from the state of Missouri. When you look, the best play, if we can keep the best players in our state home, that's the foundation for a championship. And then once you go, you'll have to supplement your talent, as you're saying. You got to go into Dallas. You got to go into Texas. You got to go into Denver and Chicago. We got to be willing to think differently. You know, that was one of the pushes that I made when getting this job is let's not try to go win the rat race in the SEC. I don't know that my logo is going to go win it in Florida for me. We can go, you know, find and develop some talent, but we know we have a great logo in the state of Texas. Obviously, it's so good, some of those schools want to join our league now. But it's important for us to make sure that we start with our state first and build it from inside out.
All right, Coach. Well, I certainly appreciate you carving out some time today, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Continuing. Day four, day final from Hoover, Alabama. Same thing going on up the road. 85 North, way up yonder, Charlotte, North Carolina. Dan Matthews at ACC Football Kickoff 2021. I want to bring Dan back in there. Dan, how was the scene this morning?
Oh, really good. I mean, as we went through the Coastal Division yesterday, get the Atlantic today, as we are still set to be joined by, like I said earlier, those of you that didn't hear it, Mike Norvell going to join us, both quarterbacks from Florida State going to join us, and also going to be talking with former Georgia defensive end Jermaine Johnson, who, Chuck, I got to be honest, that's going to be my first question to him. Why? Like, why leave this year and go somewhere else when you have a roster the way that Georgia is, as opposed to being a guy who is going to be counted so heavily upon to be able to try to rebound that program back?
Yeah, I think what he wants is he doesn't want to be a situational or a rotation, a wave guy, third down. I think he wants to be a three-down guy who can pinch against the run, spend all year in the backfield racking up TFLs and sacks and everything else. You were there, though, yesterday. We got a couple of minutes here to talk. Give me a quick overview, though, on Mac and North Carolina and the field there, because I was watching his comments, and I'm like, you talk about a guy who immediately steps behind the microphone and the room is his. Give us about a minute on Mac and his and it was just classic yesterday.
No, I mean, it absolutely is. I mean, any room he goes into, he's going to be the nicest guy, or at least perceived as the nicest guy in the room, and that's part of his charm, and that's what he does. So he definitely laid that on pretty thick yesterday. My first chance to talk was Sam Howell yesterday, and I thought it was interesting because
was he comfortable with all of it?
Okay. Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is, Chuck, is comparisons, it always annoys people. He seriously looks into me the few times that I was around Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He kind of has the same mannerisms too, where it's just the kind of cool guy vibe that really you want out of your quarterback, and he had that yesterday, and he had a huge press scrum around him inside the media breakout room. So there's definitely a lot of buzz around the Carolina program, although I did not pick them to win the Coastal.
Oh, Miami?
I did go with Miami, and I'll tell you who really swayed me on that is the guy we heard from yesterday, De'Eriq King, because talking with him, I mean, that running back room that he talks Cheney Jr. and with Harris and with Knighton. And then also, too, he talked about the depth they have on the offensive line, and I kind of stopped for a second. I said, depth on the offensive line, that's something you guys haven't said in a while.
Absolutely. All right, so Dan up yonder in Charlotte, the Western ACC Media Football Kickoff. I am down here in Hoover, Alabama again, last day of SEC Media Days, and I was able to sit down with Cole Kublik from the SEC Network, also, of course, Jocks Radio there in Birmingham, and it's Auburn Day today. And so I wanted to get some perspective from a guy who obviously knows that program as well as anybody, and the enormous nature of the challenge for Brian Harsin as he really gets a full understanding of the day-to-day, the challenge of going against Nick Saban 365. Chuck Oliver Show continues from SEC Media Days 2021. It's Auburn Day in the house, and so I want to go to one of my good friends, and everybody already knows him as well as I do from the SEC Network. You see him, you hear him all the time, as well as Jocks in Birmingham, about as good a heritage radio station you're going to find in the Southeast talking college football. It is Cole Kublik. Cole, brother, how you doing today?
I'm great, Chuck. How are you?
Doing good. Glad to be back here in person.
Yes.
We all feel that.
Yes.
Let's go to both our alma maters. The offensive line last year was not – I didn't say this first, but it applied. It looks like we're starting five guards. and I think it was actually four guards and a defensive tackle.
It's fair.
What's done is done, okay?
Yeah.
I have said that there is no position group where it's as impossible to get a quick turnaround as the offensive line. Now, I saw Kirby do it in Athens about 5 years ago. But it's you got to plant stuff and water and give it some sun. I mean, the offensive line, there's no quick fix. Talk about Harsin and that challenge and just what your overview of some of the guys and what the line can be.
Couple positives first. I do think Nick Brahms is a good football player. And I think he's tough. I think he's physical. He brings the demeanor, the attitude. That will help. The other thing is, I actually think the system will help that group a little bit more than some people may believe. Now, does that mean that they're going to be 95 Nebraska? No, I don't think so. But when you're going to build your offense around the stretch play, and you're going to build your offense to widen the defense and open up things on the inside of your offensive line and structurally force the defense to move east and west, it's going to open up a lot of other things for you when you think about running a counter or a bootleg, throwing a screen backside off of a certain play that you're showing. And if that's your sort of base run play, you don't have to necessarily have a ton of movement on that. It's not a play or a baseline of run plays. It's going to require you to win at the line of scrimmage, win at the point of attack, get 2-3 yards of movement, or else the play is going to fail. And with a back like Tank Williams, I mean, it's literally get a hat on a hat, and he might be able to go. I mean, I can speak to that. We had Rudy Johnson, and we went to a little bit more of a zone scheme. Now, we had Kendall Simmons and Mike Pasilis. We had some good offensive linemen. We had some guys playing the NFL. But
Simmons is a monster.
There wasn't – you didn't always have to have just that legitimate push at the point of attack. So I think that'll help a little bit. I think that Brian Harsin wants to utilize the mobility of Bo Nix. He knows it's good, probably better than a lot of people give him credit for. So I think those are some ways that they can overcome. If they do implement the tight end a little bit more, I know people laugh at that. They've been hearing it for a couple of years. But I've also seen both of these offenses that they're going to mesh together work, and they want to use bonus bigs, fullback, H-back, traditional tight ends. I don't know how many of those bodies they have right now or bodies that are even really close to how they want them to appear to be right now to do that. But I think those are some ways that they'll be able to counter what you stated in the beginning, which I feel is fairly accurate, and just not having dominant personnel up front.
Now, when you talk about, you know, traditional tight end, to me, that's the sixth lineman. That's the guy on the right tackle's hip, and we're going to mash some people. But there's a lot of different tight ends today. There's Eric Gilbert tight end. There's the slot tight end. There's the Thaddeus Moss, like at LSU. Do you have any idea about what that's going to look like on the plains, or could it be all of them?
No, I think you'll get a little bit of all of them. I think body type Fromm might probably be the one that can offer you the most as far as the tight end position to me and its value nowadays, because you bring up an interesting name with Thaddeus Moss, because I've been telling people all week, watch this Cole Taylor kid at LSU. I think he's going to have a great year. Now, he doesn't look like Thaddeus Moss. He looks like David LeFleur, who I played against, who was – I mean, LSU used to always have the power forward tight end.
Hoss.
Oh, they always had that.
Keith Zinger and that whole bunch.
I was like, this is who that kid can be, but he's physical enough to stay in and help in protection and give you a little bit in the run game. So Auburn obviously doesn't have that guy. And we keep making this mistake of wanting to say any tight end who can move, be it Weidermeyer, Billingsley, like we want to throw Kyle Pitts in there. And I'm like, let's stop. That's like comparing other SEC teams to Alabama. Let's move away from that. Let's put Alabama over here, and then let's talk about the other teams. Let's just put Kyle Pitts over there, and then we can talk about the other tight ends, because there really is no comparison to him. I think Fromm would probably be the guy that you could use in a physical manner, but also could help you out in space a little bit more. I don't know exactly how they do it, Chuck, because I don't know if they have the guy that's capable to be multiple things all the time. And ultimately, that's value.
Oh, when you can change formations without changing personnel,
you know how to identify him.
You get somebody, you know, caught a little bit. Oh, we should have subbed. We didn't. Well, now he's in the slot. Absolutely true about that. Continue with Cole Kubler from SEC Network. When Cadillac Williams was an actual running back instead of running back's coach, I remember somebody asked, I said, why is he so good? And at first I was like, I can't tell you. He just is. And the more I watched him, I realized like the one thing, because Cadillac, you know, wasn't like a 4.29 guy and he wasn't like 235. I was like, I think it's vision. Like, I think that was he would turn his shoulders, get skinny, not take the hit. Well, did against, broken shoulder bone. But anyway, it was kind of the vision. People have asked me about Tank Bigsby, and I'm like, I'm still at the I'm not sure moment, because he showed up as a true freshman in that conference and was like, yeah, I might be the best one here.
If I had to give you a reason now, I would just say flat out effort. I mean, the guy just, he refuses to be tackled a lot of the times. And we just mentioned how dangerous it is to make comparison. But I mean, you think about guys like Adrian Peterson when you watch him run, just you think about guys like Leonard Fournette. He's literally peeling himself away from defenders the majority of the time. And by the way, that was running inside of a scheme that didn't give him a ton of space last year.
Just protect the ball and work it.
Just find a way to grind it out. So I would say effort is probably his best attribute. Now, what I really love about him is when he decides to put a foot in the ground and get north and south, he can do it in a violent way. And he can do it in a hurry. I think this outside zone play could be one that he really thrives in, because we had the Kentucky game last year, Chuck, and Chad Moore sat down with us and said, listen, if we could get this kid to just hesitate for a millisecond, he would be our starting running back and there would be no discussion about it. But when we give him the ball, it's literally 1,000 miles an hour, one direction, one place, and that's it.
Which means he's climbing up the back of the pulling guard. And
He's not allowing plays to develop. He doesn't know exactly where to hit it. He doesn't know where the space may come open a little bit later. But that did get better as the season went on, and I think you kind of saw it in it.
Isn't that what Booby did so well?
A little bit, yeah.
He would kind of pause and let that hole and then bend it
carry
back.
Carry on was really good at it.
Carry on was amazing.
You know, he was a guy. He reminds you a lot of Le'Veon Bell, where he would just kind of dance, weave, and then boom, north and south. But it reminded me of a conversation that I had last year with Steve Sarkisian. And we were preparing for the Kentucky game, and I asked Sark, I said, this is my interpretation. I watched Najee the last few years. It felt like his vision was poor. Like you mentioned, running into the back of a guard, not allowing not stretching to play outside, then getting north and south, just sprint outside to the sideline, then trying to get upfield.
Worked on Friday night.
And I said, this year looks totally different. How do you coach vision? How do you coach a guy to see things a different way? And he just laughed. He said, listen, everything you said, I know exactly why you said it. Because what you saw the last few years, it's accurate. He said, but we didn't change his vision. He said, we changed his mentality. He said, we had multiple conversations with him before the season, and we said, listen, we know that the last few years you thought you were going to get 6, 8, 10 tries a game. Don't worry about it, because you're going to get 25 or 35 this year. So if you can slow down a little bit, if you can wait just a moment, getting the 6 or 8 yards is okay. Not hitting your head on the goalpost every play is fine. If you get 4, if you get 6, that's going to start turning to 12, that's going to start turning to 24, and that's going to start turning to touchdowns. And he said, honestly, that was it. That was the only thing we changed. There was no key this guy with your eyes off this hip, or make sure you watch the back of this tackle's helmet. He said, it was none of that. He said, we just got him to mentally and emotionally calm down.
He got a red line on every play.
Because he knew he was going to get more attempts. So I think similar conversations can happen with Tank. And if we see, you and I would call it vision, maybe it's more instinct or feel. When that improves, and if the offensive line does come along a little bit, he could have a monster season.
Going to be running around sidelines all throughout the Southeastern Conference in just about 5 weeks. It is Cole Kublik.
Thank you, Chuck.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.